But okay, the issue. So one of the issues regarding to Techeles, one besides all the rayas back and forth and many other issues, one of the fundamental discussions among the poskim are: do we accept archaeological evidence? So those, those who say it's not a real science, it's a quasi science. So therefore, it doesn't even. They don't accept it at all, so it wouldn't even rise to a leidas hasafek unless they have other rayas. And others say, yeah, we accept archaeological evidence. So what's the basis for this machlokas? Do we accept archaeological evidence, or do we not? Do we sometimes? So the Gemara says, the Chazon Ish was once asked regarding the laws of Shemitah. Does it apply to things grown in the city of Beishan? So the Gemara in Chulin Davav Amabez says that Tvua, that produce grown in Beishan, is putter from Shemitah, is exempt from the Shemitah restrictions. So therefore, the people who live there in the what they call the modern day Beishan, do they assume to be, is that the same city that the Gemara calls it? So the Chazon Ish says that no, we can't assume it's the same Beishan. He said, because the practice of identifying places in Eretz Yisrael with their names from the Bible or Talmud is not enough of a, doesn't hold enough water in terms of halacha. And Rav Kook, but in other issues, he was like different things regarding Megillah, the 15th day, but that's part of the issue. So let's just see if we can bring any rayas from Gemaras, whether we can accept archaeological evidence or not. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Samach Gilamud Beis, regarding the tzitz, but the Kohen Gadol wore the head plate of the Kohen Gadol. So it said on it, Kodesh Hashem. The question was, it seems to be a machlokes tanam, whether Kodesh Hashem was on one line or two lines. The Tanakhama say it was on two lines, Kodesh Hashem, and Rebbe Lezer says it should be on one line. So there's a machlokes tanam. So Rebbe Lezer says, you know why I say one line? Because I was in Rome, I was in the Vatican in Rome. And on the tzitz, the words Kodesh Hashem were written on one line, so I know. So it's nothing more to discuss. So clearly, Rezer felt that he could base it on archaeological evidence. He actually saw with his own eyes that the tzitz in the Vatican was written on one line. That seems to be a raya. However, as the Kesef Mishnah asks, like, what do you mean the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, he seems to rule with the Tanakhama that the Kodesh Hashem appears on two lines. Even though he himself considers the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, it says, because maybe sometimes it was, you know, maybe sometimes it was written on one line. In other words, the Kesef Mishnah explains that everyone agrees archaeological evidence is good, it's the interpretation of it. The fact that you found one tzitz in Rome, does that mean that everyone was written that way? Or as the Kesef Mishnah says, people had different sized foreheads, you probably had many different tzitzes, many different head plates, and some were written on one line, some were written on two lines. So Rav Shakhtar clearly says, from this Gemara clearly is a raya, the halakha continues archaeological evidence. And if you don't accept, it's not because you don't accept archaeological evidence, you don't think there's enough evidence to prove your point. Or we know there's a famous machlokes, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, regarding the Seder Parshios, the order to which the last two Parshios should be placed. So Rashi says Shema should come before Vayon Shemoa, while Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by Tosis, says Vayon Shema should come before the Shema. So it's a famous machlokes, and so just what everyone wears, Rashi, today everyone wears Rashi's tefillin, and some, in additionally to wearing Rashi, because of this debate, they also wear Rabbi Notam. Many Hasidim wear Rabbi Notam, and others as well. So there's a Smag, and others, there's a Mordechai Menachas, but they discuss, wearing your tefillin. He goes with the classic, we follow Rashi, but how does he support his position? Because he claims because they found an old set of tefillin that was buried in Yechezkel HaNavi's grave. So therefore, we see that those... So that's a discussion. Right, he wants to bring it right. Since we found these tefillin, it must be like Rashi. However, the Drisha says, this doesn't disprove Rabbi Notam. As he's telling, why do you think you get buried? You put him in Shemos. And anyway, things could have been changed around. So the bottom line is, we see again, the question is, do you rely on archaeological evidence or not? Do I say the fact that I found the tefillin this way, that's the way it always was, and someone moved it around after? Maybe there are many different types of tefillin. Both Rashi and Rebbe, it's not a new machlokas. It's been around, it's around for a long time. It's not that it just started with Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, because there are many machlokas in what the Gemara talks about were later on, but there were earlier disputes as well. So that would be part of the issue. Do we accept archaeological evidence? And there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis, and Ayin Dalet. The Rabba Bar Chana, he was traveling in the desert with an Arab tour guide, and they went to the graves of the Dor HaMidbar, to those who died on the 40-year journey from Egypt to Israel. So, Rabba Bar Chana, he wanted to remove one of the tzitzis from the bodies because there was a major machlokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. We have to go with Beis Shammai in this case, that we have 8-4, which is 8, or Beis Hillel says 6 of these. So they asked him, why didn't you just cut one off and bring it home and we could determine who the halakha is like? So they rebuked him for not bringing the proof of, or at least looking to see what it was. So we see from here, Rav Schachter claims, that they were going to determine, go back to figure out the Masorah, the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, let's determine it by what we find in the Dor HaMidbar. So they believed, obviously, that you could do it by archaeological evidence. Others, Rav Chaim Kineski, and says, in the fact that he failed in doing it, that's a raya, God doesn't want us to do it. But they asked Rav Soloveitchik, who was very big on a Masorah, and he said, you can't use archaeological evidence to reconstruct a Masorah. I said, what about this Gemara? So he wants to say, he used to give Shir a Mariah, and the Baal Batab used to ask him a lot of questions. So he says, Ahutar, even though it means an Arab guide, literally or generally, but he quotes the Zohar that many times, When it says an Arab tour guide, it's really referring to Eliyahu HaNavi. So maybe that's why in that case it was Eliyahu HaNavi. So he was there. He saw it, so that's considered a Masorah, Ishmi Piyish. But other cases where you just find a random person finds it, you're still lacking in the Masorah. So that's a major debate in many areas, but that's one of the issues in the present-day Tchelis debate, whether archaeology evidence is zero, like you fundamentally, you can't even use it, or no. You can use it, you just have to know how to use it. You have to know, is it a good raya or not? The fact you found one thing, is it only because you didn't have enough samples, that's the only way they made it, etc. So those are one of the factors among many, whether you could, whether archaeology, assuming you, accept archaeological evidence, and let's assume that the archaeological evidence supports the new Tcheles, would that create enough of a leidus asafik, and say at least safik daraisa l'chumra to require us to wear the Tcheles? Of course, then it's a separate debate. Rav Shlomo Miller discusses, will we say safik daraisa l'chumra here? But that's part of many issues. But one of the main issues by Tcheles is the issue of using archaeological evidence.